Good morning to everybody again. Let me say Merry Christmas to you all again. Good to see you all. I love Christmas at home with family, but I enjoy kind of gathering here as a church family too, kind of seeing everybody on Christmas morning as well. So again, Merry Christmas to you all. Glad to have all the kids in here with us this morning as well. I promise to be brief. In fact, I have 4 points, and they're all in bags here, so you can actually count down the bags as I get through this little chat with you this morning. But again, let me just say it. Merry Christmas. So glad to see you all and to worship and celebrate with you this morning. We're just talk through the Christmas story, okay? It's Christmas morning. We're going to go through the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. That's where we'll be here in just a matter of moments. We're going to work through this simple but powerful story. Stories, man, they captivate us, don't they? Like, stories just captivate us. A well-written and well-told story will have everybody just on the edge of their seat listening to just every word. We just love a good story. So whether you're around a campfire, whether you're sitting around the kitchen table, or whether, like this morning, you're just sitting in a church pew in a church building and hearing a story being told as we work through Luke chapter 2, stories just captivate us. We're drawn to them. Like, our hearts love them. It's why we love those good books where it's just well written and just a good story of adventure and danger and plot twists and the unexpected taking place. Like, we love that. We go see movies. We just love these things because they just kind of resonate with us. And so when we think through this story this morning, the simple Christmas story is really, when you think about it and we start working through this, it's one of the most spectacular stories that's ever been told. The birth of Christ, the birth of our Savior, the birth of the Messiah is the most spectacular story that could be told. It's a story of a humble king who had everything. Philippians 2 would mention this, that he had every privilege afforded to this king. And he laid it all aside and he came down to save his people. Like, that's a remarkable truth there of a humble king come to save his people. These are the stories that we love. It's a love story is what it is. It's a love story. It's a story of redemption. It's a story of reconciliation. Again, like I said, our hearts resonate with this. Like, we love these stories, and this is a story that changes us. So it's not just that's a fictional story that we like to hear, but this is a story that actually changes us. Like, this story matters to our lives. This morning, maybe last night, or throughout this day, more than likely you'll gather with family and friends. And you're going to gather around a tree maybe similar to this, and you're open up gifts. Okay, there's an excitement that comes with this, isn't there? Like, there's just an excitement that comes with just opening up a wrapped box. When you don't know what it is, there's just a different level of joy that kind of fills your heart. Just to put this in perspective, like a few weeks ago, I bought a couple shirts just on my own. I needed a couple shirts, saw some on sale. I think this was one of them, and I bought it and went home, and it was like nothing changed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I bought a couple shirts, threw them in the wash, and I'll wear them tomorrow or something like that. And so there really was no level of joy or excitement with that. It was just, that's a new shirt. But this morning, you open up those boxes and you pull out a shirt. Like, oh, it's a shirt. Like, oh, this is awesome. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just something that comes with, like, the fact that you didn't know what it was. And also now you're kind of excited about a shirt that you wouldn't be excited about if you had just bought it yourself. Or if your kids are anything like my kids, they're jumping and going crazy this morning. Like, my son, he just pulled a candy bar out of his stocking and he's just freaking out. Like, it's a candy bar. Like you have a whole bunch of them. You eat those all the time. His teacher is Robbie Kampfeis. She sugars our kids up like you would not believe. But yet, it was in a stocking, so he is just overflowing with this joy. This is what wrapped gifts, this is what kind of gifts bring to us. It's just this excitement, this joy. It brings a certain level of joy and thankfulness as well. And that's what we've come to celebrate this morning, right? Like a gift given to us. God's gift to us, Jesus, Emmanuel. I love how Matthew 1 explains his name, God with us. I love that. Talked about that briefly last night at the Christmas Eve service. God with us. It's the one thing that separates every religion from Christianity. Every religion, every other faith out there, every other philosophy out there always says, here's what you have to do. Here are the good works. Here are the steps. Okay, follow the steps, and you will eventually, hopefully, if you're good enough, and live long enough to do the good steps, we'll get to your God, maybe. But Christianity is the only faith out there where God the Creator says, you can't do anything good enough. I'm coming to you. like you are unable, you're incapable of doing enough good steps to get to me. So I'm sending Jesus, God, with us. This is the gift that we're coming to celebrate this morning. It's a story really wrapped up in excitement and joy. So as we kind of walk through this Christmas story this morning, I want us to just ponder and think about this greatest gift that's been given to us. Okay, Jesus, God with us. And what I want to do is, as I pointed out here, I just want to use four simple objects with the kids in here just to hopefully just help us think through just a story, to help maybe just attribute a picture to this story as we kind of walk through it, to help us think through, okay, what's taking place as we walk through Luke chapter 2. So with that in mind, go to Luke chapter 2. It's where we'll be here. We'll go through the first 20 verses, and I know that probably freaks some of you out, but I will go quickly through them. Luke chapter 2, page 710. So if you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack right in front of you. It says the story on it. I know Trevor joked about the gifts, the offering envelopes. That's a joke. You can have the Bible, though. That's not a joke. So if you don't own a Bible, you can please take that with you out this door, out the doors this morning as our gift to you. But Luke chapter 2, let's start in verse 1. Let me read the first seven verses here. It says this, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." So this first little object that we're going to work through this morning is simply this. It's a swaddling cloth. And so at the end of that, those first few verses, it said that they wrapped Jesus in a simple swaddling cloth. It's just a blanket, basically, to keep a baby warm. Many of you, as parents, probably had tons of these in your home. And so when you think through this first object, the thought I want you to think through is just this, the greatness of humility. Like, just the greatness of humility. Like, this story is dripping in humility. Like, every aspect of this story has humility wrapped around it. So Joseph and Mary, who were they? They were poor, they were broken people who had really nothing, and they were really even trying to grasp what was happening. But yet they were humble, and they were willing to submit and follow the Lord's leading. And God used them in just this incredibly remarkable way. But yet they were just dripping in humility. Even as you think through the simple town that Jesus was born in, the town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a know-nothing town. There was nothing spectacular or remarkable about Bethlehem whatsoever. Yet even in this instance, there's this greatness of humility even in the city and town in which Jesus was born. In fact, even in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it was prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years prior that out of this little town, this know-nothing, nothing accomplished with this town, that the Messiah would come. And so listen to this verse. It says, "But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days." And so even hundreds of years before Jesus was born, it was foretold that this little town, this little humble town, would be the birthplace of the Savior of the world. Again, just as we think through the humility of this entire story here. But then you think through even just the person of Jesus. I mentioned just a moment ago Philippians chapter 2. He was God. He is God. And he gave everything up. He considered equality with God, Philippians 2 would say. He counted it as nothing. He grasped it as nothing, but he laid it aside to be born as a servant, to come seek and to save those who are lost. This is the message of humility, even in Jesus' own life. He began his life in the humblest of places. So not only was he born in a small little town, but in other passages of Scripture said there wasn't even room for them. Like, so he couldn't even get a room in this small little town. Again, so just the greatness of humility here. And then here, picture this, the King of the universe, who spoke life into existence, his first night on this earth, he slept in a feeding trough. Like a feeding trough for animals. The King the universe dripping with humility. We are called to follow this humble king. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus himself would say, if anyone wants to follow me, if anyone wants to come after me, okay, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and come follow me. We follow a humble king, and this story, this Christmas story, begins with just the greatness of humility. As we continue on in this story, verse 8 says this, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And so as we think through this second object here, it's simply this, just simply a shepherd. And what we think about when we think about the shepherd is this thought, joy for all people. Joy for all people. That when you think through this greatest news that's being shed, this greatest news that's being shared here, the birth of the king, the birth of the Messiah, the birth of the Savior, where did that news first go to? Did it go to other kings and rulers? Did it go to the wealthy? Did it go to prophets? No, it went to humble shepherds on a field. So as we think through this thought of the joy for all people, the good news of the gospel, who does it go to first? It goes to shepherds. Now, who are these shepherds? They were left alone and forgotten on a field to watch sheep. They were despised. In that day and age, shepherds were not looked highly upon whatsoever. In fact, they were actually often referred to as just thieves. The thieves out there on the hills. In fact, shepherds were really just one step above lepers in that day. They were not thought of highly at all, but yet here we go. The greatest news that's ever been shared, that's coming to save and redeem and reconcile the world back to God, and the news first goes to a simple shepherd on the field. So what does this tell us? As we think through this as the why. Well, it tells me this. It tells us this, that the gospel, the good news of the birth of Christ, of redemption and salvation found in Jesus, is for those who are broken and know their need. It's for those who are broken and know that they need Christ. It's not for the people that think, I've done it. I've built myself up. I don't need anybody else. I just have me. This is all I need. The gospel, it doesn't do anything for them. The gospel goes to the people who are broken and understand that I am in desperate need of a Savior. The gospel brings life and joy to those who have lost hope. So those who are despised, that are left alone, those that are left on a field, that the gospel brings hope, brings joy, and brings life. It tells us this, that Jesus, though he is our great king, he loves us despite our brokenness, despite our sin. And it also tells us this, that he's going to fill us with great joy. As we think through even this passage here, it says it's good news of a great joy that will be for all people. Like, I love that line, that the gospel news, the good news of Christ, brings with it this joy that's going to be for all the people. And so that's what this shepherd represents in the story, the gospel coming to you. Let's continue through this. Verse 13 says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. We just sang that Christmas carol just a few moments ago where it says, in excelsis Deo. Sometimes we're like, we sing things and we're like, what's it actually mean? That phrase means what we just read, glory to God in the highest. That's what we were just singing as a church. We are attributing to God the utmost glory and the utmost worship, that he is deserving of our worship. And so as we think through this next bag, this next object, just a simple angel coming to sing and to give praise and honor and worship and glory to God and God alone. So it takes us to this simple thought here, that Jesus alone deserves worship. That Jesus alone deserves worship. That the mere presence of Jesus, the mere presence of his just simple, humble birth, ushers in this chorus of great praise. See, what matters most in this little two verses that we just read is not how many angels there were singing. As spectacular as that scene probably was, that's not what's important here. What's important is what they're saying. What they're saying is glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. See, their praise and their worship, their adoration was first directed upward to God, who is worthy of our worship, who is far more worthy than anything that's ever been created. Everything in this world is subservient, is inferior to the greatness and the majesty and just the utmost glory and weightiness of God. And so their worship is directed upward to God. But then, it's this declaration of who would receive God's grace. It's glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace is coming. This is a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful idea and truth and reality of what was taking place. And as beautiful as that angelic choir was, the true and the real beauty is the grace that has been extended because of the coming of Christ. I mean, I would love to have sat on that field and heard that choir. If you were here last night, there is something majestic about hearing a bunch of voices singing and praising. And so that is something that's spectacular. But the true beauty and the real majestic truth of this story is the grace that's being extended to a world who's lost and broken through the birth of Christ. So the question this morning, on this Christmas morning, is have you believed? Have you believed? See, Christmas is not just about a baby being born, but God coming in the flesh to save and redeem those who are lost, okay? And who is that? Yes, all of us. We're all lost. And God sent his Son to be the greatest gift for us, to redeem us, to reconcile us. The person and work of Jesus brings us peace. I sound like a broken record so many times up here when I say this, and even on a Christmas morning, I don't want to bring anybody down, but listen, all the gifts that you're receiving this weekend, that you're opening up those shirts that you got all excited about, listen, I'm already not as excited about the shirts as I was when I opened it up. My kids have already started to move on to other toys, and it's only 11 o'clock. All right? And so it's not that those things don't bring a level of happiness, but it's like this. I say this all the time. There's a ceiling to it. We're already starting to kind of feel that. And you're going to feel that even more tomorrow. And then by this time next week, it'll be, for some of us in here, we'll think, what did I even get? Yeah, and that's just maybe a week removed. And so that's life. It brings joy, but man, it's so temporary. And so we're all on this journey. We're all on this pursuit to want to find joy and meaning and life and hope and salvation. We search high and low for it. There is no obstacle that we will not overcome if we think on the other side is true sustaining joy. We're on this pursuit for it. But the problem is anything in this life won't fill us. And so the birth of Christ is peace on earth. What's that mean? It means the joy and the longing and the hope that you're searching for is here. And when we find it, when we grab a hold of that, what happens? It's peace. Peace on earth. We found what our hearts and what our lives and our minds are desiring. It's in Christ. And this is this glory that we attribute to God, utmost worship and praise, because of the peace that he's extending to all of us, the joy and salvation and hope that we find in him and him alone. And so again, I ask, have you believed? Don't get wrapped up in Christmas time and just the mere sentiment and the warmth of the season. But think, okay, what does this season represent? It's ushering in hope and peace and life. There's worship that comes with that. And so that's why we're gathering here this morning, to make much of Jesus because he came, because God sent him. And see, the peace that Jesus brings is not one of pleasantries and lack of conflict, but it's one of wholeness and completeness and peace with God, which is what our soul longs for. So as we think through that angel, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace. That's the gospel story, God deserving of our worship and praise. And as we wrap up this passage this morning, verse 15 says, when the angels went away from them, that is the shepherds, into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So as we think through this last little object, it's simply this. It's just a simple little megaphone. That's all it is. It's the whole intention is this, to put up to your mouth and all of a sudden you get louder. And so what this is representing here is the fact that good news spreads. Like good news spreads. Like when you have good news, when you're told good news, you don't keep it internally. You don't keep it quiet. You go out and you try and find the first person that you want to share that with. That's the nature of good news, and really the joy that culminates in the good news is in the sharing. Like when you share good news, there's just a happiness and joy that comes with it. See, the good news of Jesus brings with it this urgency and this excitement to just spread it, to spread it. If we think back to the last point, if we truly have found peace, all right, which is what we're looking for, if we found this, man, let's get out. Let's tell everybody about it. Like we found it. You're looking in the wrong direction. Come look here. Here's where you find peace. You're looking in the wrong direction over there for joy and hope. Look this way. This is the megaphone. We want our voices to spread. We want to share the good news that Christ has come and come to give life and hope and peace and meaning to our lives. See, it's not enough to just hear about Jesus and say, well, that's a nice story, and then just go on with your day. This story doesn't give any opportunity for that response. Now you can say I don't want anything to do with it, but you can't remain neutral in this. There has to be some type of a response, and so the good news of the coming of Christ makes us want to spread it, makes us want to share it. See, the Christmas story, again, I'll say this, is not about mere sentiment, but about changing lives to find greater joy in Christ. You see this, Jesus changes you. Our mission as a church here is helping people find joy in Jesus. So we're going out saying, you're looking for joy. Here's a joy that's going to not only fade, it's only going to get better and better and better. It's something that you're longing for and searching for. It's a message that changes you. The beauty and majesty of Jesus compels you to worship and spread his name. You will never find anyone more beautiful, more loving, more gracious, more kind, or more forgiving than you will find in the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, everything that's good in this life, and there's a lot of good things in this life, but everything that's good in this life is but a shadow of the full picture that we have and that we receive in Christ. You see, these shepherds here, they ran to Christ. And then as they spent time in his presence, they left as worshipers, spreading his name, glorifying God, making much of Jesus, and just sharing the news with whoever would hear them. You see, that's the Christmas story. It's one that begins in humility, that ushers in joy for all the people, that brings in worship and adoration. And it's a joy that spreads. That's what we've come to sing about, to hear about, to gather this morning, to make much of Christ for, because of the truth and the beauty that we find in Christ. And so the Christmas story is one of good news, of a great joy that will be for all the people. Like, no one's immune from this. No one is outside of the reach of God's grace. And no one is outside of the need for God's grace, meaning this, that there's nobody in here who's got it all together enough that they don't need this story, that they don't need the person of Jesus. But there's also no one outside the reach, like I just said, of God's grace, meaning this, that there's no one in here that's done too many bad things that God's like, I just can't. You're one too many. That doesn't exist in the person of who God is. There's no one outside the reach of God's grace. There's no one outside the need for God's grace. And I said this at the beginning here, but what sets this story apart, what sets the message of Christianity apart from everybody else, is that we celebrate today God coming to us, God with us. So what is our response? Our response is praise. Our response is worship. Our response is adoration. Our response is thankfulness. And our response is to be belief, to trust and believe in what the story represents and what the story is about. The person and work of Christ, God with us, peace to all people. Let's pray. God, as we gather here this morning, we want to make much of Jesus. We gather here as the church on Christmas morning because we want to remember that this simple phrase, God with us, because we're in need. There's nobody in this room that's outside of the need of Christ. And so, God, I pray that we would respond as a church, as brothers and sisters, that we would respond in worship and praise and thankfulness and gratitude and adoration. I pray that brothers and sisters gathered here this morning would respond in belief as well, resting in the gospel, resting in the belief that God is with us, that God loves us despite our sin, despite our brokenness, that we are whole and complete and find peace in Christ and because of Christ. And God, my prayer for those that are gathered here this morning that maybe the Christmas story is just maybe one they've grown up with. They've heard it a bunch. They know it, but has never penetrated their heart. It's a story that has not changed them. I pray that this morning would be a morning where they see their brokenness, that they see their need, that they don't sit there and think, well, I've done this, 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 and this. There is no amount of good works that could save. Or sit here and say, well, you don't know what I've done. Well, there's no one outside of the reach of God's grace. And so, God, I pray that today would be a day where they turn from their sin and find hope and life and redemption and forgiveness in Christ. This is what we come to make much of this morning. God with us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.